Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, be upon us, stir in us, as you already are doing. Help us to hear what we need to hear this morning. May we find a personal word that is for us to claim coming from you. God, be with me in all that I say. Be with all those who will be speaking here in just a few moments. May your Spirit speak through us. In your name we pray. Amen. Joy. Joy is not a very common word in our culture. We tend to talk more about happiness. We have an easier time, I think, with the word happiness because it makes more sense than joy does. Happiness tends to depend on our circumstances. When things are going well for me, I feel happy. When I get that job that pays well, I feel happy. When that beach vacation comes my way, I feel happy. But joy is something different. It's elusive, it's a little hard to define. Perhaps we don't speak of joy much because the experience of it is strange. Some have described it as that sense of contentment or peace, even in the midst of a raging storm, or that sense that some greater power or greater love is enveloping you at surprising moments, even during a time of pain. Joy is different in that it is not entirely dependent on circumstance. Circumstances may influence our joy, but don't dictate when it appears or doesn't appear. Apparently, you can experience joy even in prison, which is where Paul was when he wrote the letter to the Philippians, which we heard from this morning. Many commentators say that Philippians, this letter that Joy wrote, or that Joy, that Paul wrote, is a letter of joy, that joy is all through this letter. And clearly, Paul was experiencing something different than happiness or pleasure when he was in the cell of a prison. And when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say it, rejoice. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. This joy that Paul testifies to has to do with the experience of the presence of God being near. Knowing that even in prison, the Lord is near. In any difficult circumstance, the Lord is near. Our church council, over the past months, we've been planning this weekend. And we decided over the past months that we wanted to focus on joy and justice over the weekend, but that in our Sunday service, we really wanted to reflect on joy. We think that there is a fundamental connection between receiving joy and being engaged in the work of justice, particularly over the long haul. But this morning, we wanted to reflect on joy because we don't think we reflect on it enough. And we feel that we need to help each other to see it and to share it, to notice it in our lives, to notice it in one another. And so in this moment, in these next few moments, I'm going to invite several members of council to share, to give a testimony on joy that they've experienced in their own life or that they've observed around us. So we're going to hear now what the Spirit is saying to the church through these people.
Good morning. Many of you know in early July, I received a call that no one wants to receive. In the middle of the night, my mother called me to tell me that my brother was in a very serious motorcycle accident. My parents were on their way to the shock trauma unit in Baltimore, and they did not know if he would survive. And if he did, what were the extents of his injuries? Miraculously, he did survive and now is working through what will most likely be a very long recovery process. This event has inevitably changed my brother's life and all of our lives around him forever. I am reflecting on the joy that I have experienced in the past 2 months in the wake of this accident. And for me, the theme that keeps recurring in this reflection is joy is assurance. This deep, mystical assurance that God gives us in times when things feel like they are crashing down around us. This profound joy is what fills us with a sense of hope, of renewed energy, of steadfastness, and of strength. Past week, I attended an Alison Krauss concert, and she was singing these old hymns. The night was still, and the music captured the night. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who should wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. I felt the stirring in myself that brought me to tears. This joy, this assurance, in hearing those familiar words that thousands of voices before that moment had also sung. During the most intense times in the hospital with my brother, when I had no more words I could create, songs filled my mind. In particular, a song Pax has taught us here to sing at tab, played on loop in my head and my heart in those weeks. Peace before us, peace behind us, peace under our feet. Maybe there's something in that, those moments when we ourselves run out of words, things to fill the void, systems to organize and define. That's where there's space to let joy in. Moments to be overwhelmed by beauty and the knowledge of God's presence. The night of the accident, I was far away from my brother, and there was nothing I could physically do until the morning. So I sat in the darkness of my bed, and all I could do was try to visualize the situation and invoke God's presence. I invite everyone now to close your eyes as I repeat the visual prayer that I said that night. I imagine my brother laying in the hospital, and then I imagine dozens of angels laying their hands on his body, shielding him and comforting him. And then I imagine God by his left ear. I do not picture God as a person, but as this incredible light that blends every good thing I have ever experienced in this life. And God was whispering to him, "You are loved. I delight in you. Your life has great worth. There is a way." And then I prayed that my brother would feel this assurance, and that my family would feel this assurance, and that the medical staff would feel this assurance, and that it would flow into the halls. Rejoice! The Lord is near. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Your kingdom. your kingdom come.
We want to see your kingdom come.
Amen. Joy. Some of you may be familiar with that video. That video was taken about a week and a half ago in the shelter in the wake of Hurricane Irma. So joy shows up when you least expect it. Joy shows up when you have lost everything, potentially. And in that video, if you go back and you look, you see that there are people that are representative of all of God's creation in that moment coming together and experiencing what circumstances don't have any impact on. So in preparation for this, I looked, did a little search on my Bible app. You might have a Bible app. And I put in joy. And joy came back with 242 results. So it is clear that joy is something that is present. It was present in ancient times, and it is very much present today. But what I also thought was interesting, and Katie alluded to this already, and Angela mentioned, kind of alluded to this as well, is that joy was always seeming to show up in the presence of something that was hard. And I feel like it was God's way of continuing to let people know then and let people know now that the circumstances that we find ourselves in are no match for what God is capable of. That God can whisper, whether it's into our hearts or into our spirits, in a way that will give us pure calm and confidence and assurance, and that's joy. So I just want to read something briefly, and this is from James. This is James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. God knows that we're going to doubt, and I think that's why God created joy, because joy goes way beyond doubt. And I just want to circle back to another situation that we experienced here at TAB of one of our own, very simple way that joy shows up. It can show up in flipping hot dogs and grilling hot dogs, where someone here shared with us that he felt such peace in being able to stand over the grill and make hot dogs for people because he felt in that moment that he was important, that he was needed. And although that he was hungry and in between places to live, that he had the opportunity to feed someone else. Amen.
When I was young and had time to care about such things, a friend told me that polka dots were the new trend for 2002. And a day later, I saw polka dots everywhere. Every bag, every dress, every person in every store. Well, a few months ago, council said that joy was the trend for 2017. And thankfully, I started seeing it everywhere. Many of you wear it very well. But today, I want to magnify the joy of people who we don't often see, partially because they're short, but also because children are easy to forget about. And so I'll start with one of my own. Elizabeth shows her joy in the moments before you give her a treat. She literally will dance in her seat, or like, it's really cute, but it's joy, right? And so Elizabeth reminds me that there's joy in gratitude. Charlie shows a lot of joy My favorite thing about Charlie is the moment before he finishes building something. He's always building something, at church at least, blocks or even paper. And I love watching him the moment before he puts the last piece in, like when the light goes on and he's like, ah, yeah. So there's joy in inspiration and creativity. The other week when we were downstairs in worship, Levi had such a sense of joy when he was sitting in Rose's lap and she was reading him Richard Scarry books about cars or transportation or something. And the joy on his face sitting in his mother's lap and being read to was something really special to watch. And so Levi reminded me that there is joy in acts of love. If you know Elliot, it's hard for him to contain his joy. Singing and clapping or asking loudly for more bread after communion is over. I see his joy the most when he sees Robert after he hasn't seen him for a long time and they just like envelop each other in a big hug. So Elliot reminds me of the joy of worship and also in friendship. The little joy fountain that I am around most often is Robert, my son. And if you were here the day that he and Elliot drove their cars around the sanctuary, you saw Robert at peak joy with Elliot and cars. That really was kind of distracting for many of us, but was very joyful for Robert. But I get to hear the joy in his voice every week when he says to me, who's going to tell the story this week? Which he'll say randomly, like on a Tuesday or on a Thursday morning at breakfast. And the story is Sunday school. He wants to know who's going to teach Sunday school that week. And he gets excited about going to the story. He also gets excited at night with his father turning to the page of the Desmond Tutu Children's Bible that Katie gave him when he was baptized, to the page where Jesus comes back to life. That's one of his favorite stories. And Robert reminds me of the joy that we are sharing with him, the joy of learning about God and God's love. When we baptize him, we promise to teach him about God and God's love, and I just want to tell you that you are doing that, and you do it every week, and whether it's through the story, or whether it's through children's time, or whether it's just through your smile and your handshake, you are teaching him about God's love, and he has so much joy in that. And if you're going to enter a photo contest, you might use a picture of AJ, especially when he's in his mother's arms. In the safety and love of her embrace, AJ has the most beautiful smiles and the most hopeful gaze. And so Emily and AJ remind me of the joy of knowing that you are loved and the joy of being a child of God. So when I am willing to stop and see our children, I'm reminded of God's love and the gift of joy that we all can have. Our children are a source of joy for me because they haven't learned how to hide it yet. They haven't learned to replace their joy with doubt or skepticism. Our children will learn about God's stories of love and justice from us, but if we allow ourselves, we will be reminded of the gift of joy of the Spirit that comes from God's love. So let us see that, not only in our children, but in all of God's children.
Thanks be to God for these testimonies that we've heard. We are invited, all of us today, to testify to the joy that is within us. And one way we do that this morning is through the sacrament of baptism. There are actually most of the traditions and the practices in the church are surround that theme of joy. And the sacrament of baptism is a joyful occasion. Because in this service where we will surround AJ and affirm that he belongs to God and is a child of God. And as we pour the cleansing waters over him, We are going to proclaim that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate AJ from the love of God in Jesus Christ. This is a powerful claim because we know, we all of us know, that AJ is going to learn and hear conflicting voices over the years that will rival this claim. He is going to experience, yes, like we all do, the powers of death, the powers of evil at work in our world. Will he experience the suffering that comes from loss or hurt or injustice? Yes, he will. Will he experience the world teaching him that because he is classified as white and a white man, that he must dominate and control others and be more deserving than others? Yes, our culture will teach him that or try to teach him that. But we, through this act of baptism, are affirming and promising something different, that death and the powers of sin don't hold the final authority over his life, and that neither does the power of white supremacy or greed or any other power at work in our world. We are going to promise to help AJ find his true definition in being a child of God. All of us are called to remind each other of our true definition as being children of God. And we do that against those other claims and against the lies of the world. Our baptisms remind us of who we are and whose we are. After we baptize AJ, he will walk around the room, or perhaps be carried around the room, depending on his state. And we don't do this to show him off, but we want to give you a chance to connect with him and remember the promise that you will make to him this morning, to teach him about the true definition of him being a child of God. Joy springs from us knowing this truth about ourselves. Nobody can take away our joy. Many things can be taken from us, but nobody can take away your joy. It is God's gift to us. May we claim that gift this morning. May we notice it more in our lives. May we share it. Amen.